This is iFaith video sermon number 47. We're in Ephesians. Last time, we had a talk on predestination from the passages on predestination in Ephesians 1. It's not the unfair teaching that God randomly, arbitrarily selects some to be saved and others to be lost, nor is predestination the teaching of many false prophets today that God has a wonderful plan to make us all healthy, wealthy, and happy if we'll just give money to the ministry. No. Predestination is God's plan for holy living. It's his plan for all of us. It's something we do together. We're moving in this next talk from the collective, from the group, to the individual. I just came back a few days ago from Milwaukee. I had a debate with a Baptist scholar. And we had one debate actually on whether it's possible to lose one's salvation. I argued that it is, based on the New Testament and the early church. But we all had two more debates, a double debate on baptism. And he's a Baptist scholar. Ironically, he taught only baptism in his denomination is valid. Baptism is a work. Therefore, it cannot be for forgiveness of sins. And if you're baptized thinking God's going to cleanse you, then you will definitely go to hell. And his position also required me to agree with him, or I was a non-Christian. It's quite an interesting experience, arguing for the early Christian teaching on conversion against someone whose mind was so made up, it was so rigid. Well, today, I mention this because today we're going to talk about baptism. Well, isn't this from Ephesians? Well, yes, but Ephesians talks about baptism. Let me explain. And by the way, there's a hymn. What we're going to be looking at today is a hymn. Awake, O Sleeper would be a good name for it. You know, I believe Johann Sebastian Bach wrote some music to this as well. But it's simply the words, wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Now, if you've read Ephesians lately, I'm sure that's familiar. But back then, you know, they didn't have, I have decided to follow Jesus. That baptism song hadn't been written. But this is one of the songs that they used. It's a hymn, and it's very beautiful. You say, well, how do you know it's baptism, Douglas? Are you just, you know, guessing, grabbing at straws? Not really. There are many more passages on the new birth and baptism than we may realize. Everyone's familiar with 1 Peter 3:21, which says point blank, baptism saves you. But we may not be as familiar with 1 Peter 1:23 or 1:3, which are also about baptism. Galatians 3:27, we're sons, we're daughters of God through when we're baptized, we put on Christ. But there are several other passages on baptism in Galatians. Do you know them? 1 Corinthians has a number of them. So does Ephesians. Perhaps most familiar is Ephesians 4:5, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. But how about 5:26? And this comes where Paul is telling husbands to treat your wives right. He says, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word. Washing of water with the word? That's the language the early church used to talk about baptism. You'll find verses on being born again through the word in James 1:18 and, as I mentioned, 1 Peter 1:23. They're baptism passages. Now, last time we were in Ephesians 1, we noted that in the first three chapters, there's rich theology. This is the foundation. And building on that, chapters 4 to 6 give us application. I'm going to back up a few verses before our text. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. For the fruit of light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by light becomes visible. And everything that is illuminated becomes a light. That is why it is said, wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. And that last verse is Ephesians 5:14, which most New Testament scholars agree is a baptismal hymn or part of a hymn. In the original, it reads this way, and this is the feel. Egre ho katheldon kainasta ekton nekron kai pithalse soe ho Christos. Later in Latin, Serge qui dormis et exergea mortuis et illuminabit te Christus. It has a certain rhythm, a pulse, and they're beautiful words. And by the way, these words, these verbs, these imperatives are singular, not plural. He's not telling all of us to wake up together. It's not so much a corporate repentance or a call to be alive. It's individual. It's not you plural, it's you singular. Because we submit to baptism as individuals. Now, you may have been baptized with many other people. I was baptized on a Sunday evening. I was the only one getting baptized that night, apart from the 8 or 9 witnesses who were there. But I did that as an individual. Because no one can be baptized for you. It's your own embracing of the message of the cross. Actually, the very next verse after our text says this: be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. So this passage, awake, sleeper, you know, rise from the dead, Christ will shine on you, it's nestled between verses on repentance and Christian living, on giving up sin and even revealing what is sinful, and getting on with the business of the urgent business at hand, the mission that the Lord has given us. It's always important to look at the context of a passage. Otherwise, we're in danger of just looking for nice words, something that would look good in a frame. Words I could memorize for when I need them. That's good to memorize some words. It's good to have them handy. It's good to frame them. But it's better to understand the passage. These aren't just nice words to sing. The early Christians truly believed and taught that baptism is where the new birth takes place. After all, we were dead. Now, in the New Testament, you may realize that sleeping is a kind of metaphor for death. You know, those who sleep, maybe because they look like they're sleeping, at least at first. But that's a very common way to put it. So these sleepers, parallel to that, synonymous with that, those who are dead, they're not spiritually alive. In Ephesians 2, it begins, you were dead in your trespasses and sins in which you formerly walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them, we too all formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. So it's time to live now. There are three areas of application. We're already talking about one, and that's dealing with sin. Throughout chapters 4, 5, and 6, Paul tells us what to implement, what to get rid of. Because a proper understanding of the new birth, of rising and being illuminated, affects our private life, our public life. It affects our thoughts, our attitudes, our character, family, how we relate to others. Remember in John 3, verse 16, of course, is the faith passage. Verse 5 is the baptism passage. Verse 21 is the repentance passage. But in that third passage, it talks about coming into the light. And some people refuse to come to the light. They're afraid they'll be exposed. Others will come into the light and it can be seen what they've done. That's a repentance passage. And there are three areas of application with our message today. First is dealing with sin. Ephesians talks about dealing with greed and sexual sin. Often these go together. When we get soft and long for a comfortable life, we can be soft on ourselves morally as well. But greed and sexual impurity, Paul talks about impatience. He talks about bitterness. Just read Ephesians. And these are not just in chapters 4, 5, 6, but they're mainly there. So first, we've got to deal with sin. What is your sin? What's my sin? What am I holding on to? Closely related, and I'm going to read from Paul's first letter to Timothy, which actually is where we'll be in the next lesson, our next video sermon. 1 Timothy 5:5 and 6, in a passage about widows, it says, widows who are really in need, that is, that they need help from the church, left all alone, puts her hope in God, continues night and day to pray and ask God for help. but the widow who lives for pleasure is dead even while she lives. Give the people these instructions so no one may be open to blame. Some people, some older people, some younger people too, aren't really about the business of the Lord. They're just frittering away the hours, wasting the time, living for pleasure. And Paul says, that's not living at all. That's not living at all. Living for pleasure. Think of our culture, where we have so many opportunities to feel pleasure chemically, to have the pleasure of recreation, relaxing, vacations, entertainment, games. Many of these things are highly addictive. I know about that because I have an obsessive kind of personality. But living for pleasure, Paul says, is not living. That's actually death. Christ shines on us in baptism, calling us to follow him, not to waste our time just living for pleasure. I hope that the way I spend my time is different to the way my non-Christian neighbors spend their time. Okay? The third area has to do with reputation. And we read in Revelation 3 where Jesus Christ himself addresses the church in Sardis, a town in western Turkey. I'll be there in a few months, Lord willing. To the angel of the church in Sardis write, I know your deeds. You have a reputation of being alive, but you are dead. So Jesus is addressing an entire church. Of course, that could be true of our lives as well. He continues, wake up, strengthen what remains and is about to die, for I have found your deeds unfinished in the sight of my God. And then he says, if you don't wake up, I'll come like a thief, and you won't know at what time I'm going to come to you. It's one of the strongest warnings in the New Testament. And he's addressing a church that has a good reputation. Oh, yeah, this is the one where people would want their friends to go. If their family members are moving cities, oh, yeah, go to that congregation. They've got a great reputation. Well, reputation is not enough. It has to be a life lived in the light of Christ. Sardis used to be doing well. He actually says, strengthen what remains. They used to be alive. And he says, it's about to die. So they're dead, but they're not totally dead yet. There's still hope. But what happens when we live just based on our reputation? Maybe you're an older Christian and your glory days are behind you. Sorry if that's the case. Maybe you are afraid of standing out and you want to be thought as moderate and balanced and not a Jesus freak or some loony. Okay, me too. I don't want to be viewed that way. But the world will think we're strange, even if we're perfectly balanced. 1 Peter 4:4. But also just Jesus' life. This guy was totally balanced. So the three areas of application, living in sin, you know, deliberately not dealing with stuff, living for pleasure, and that could be chemical stimulation, it could be alcohol, drugs, recreation, entertainment, online, other things we get addicted to. And the third area, and these are all described as death, living on reputation, leftover fumes from some time when you used to be on fire for the Lord. Wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. It's a baptism verse, but it still has impact. It still has meaning for us, even those of you who've been Christian for some time. We've now actually gone through 7 of Paul's letters. Finally, 8. Finally, we're going to go through what's called the pastoral epistles. Oh, actually, 10. We've done 10 of Paul's letters. Most of them. We just need to cover 1 Timothy, Titus, and 2 Timothy. And we're going to start there next time. Thanks for listening. Maybe it'd be a good idea to memorize this passage that this message is based on, Ephesians 5:14. And even more important, let it sink in as we reflect on our own conversion, our own baptism. God bless you.